Hello there, fellow seekers. My name is Rosa. Welcome to Esoterica. Consider this Tarot 101. We're going to dive together into building our intuition and connecting with the cards to uncover things we are ignoring. Tarot has a long history and is very esoteric, which for those who don't know means intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. I'm here to break things down, make some connections, and help you get more out of your readings. Before we get into learning about the card's meaning, I wanted to take today to talk a little bit about tarot's history, my approach to it, and also change some potential misconceptions. The most popular tarot deck, and the one with the most current versions with similar imagery and symbolism, is the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which was first published in 1910, and the creators Smith and Waite both had relationships with an occult group named the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which was a magical society founded in 1887. Interestingly, Pamela Coleman Smith, who was the original artist of the deck, was never credited in the deck's original title, which instead featured the publisher, writer, and the author, Arthur Waite. Classic 1910. But I will be referring to this deck as the Smith-Waite deck moving forward. I also want to note the occult element of the creator's backstory, as I think tarot and the media, as well as the groups that have come to be associated with it, can be a blocker or hesitancy for some people. At this podcast, we embrace science, and I want to say that tarot is not innately occult. Decks originated from playing card decks in the 15th and 16th century Italy. They were originally ornate handmade cards created for the wealthy, and playing cards themselves weren't available to the masses until paper mills and printing presses spread throughout Europe. They were created and largely used in the beginning for playing game purposes only. Occult and esoteric groups would use them later on, concocting mythical Egyptian histories for tarot. There is a Thoth tarot deck painted by Lady Frieda Harris with input from Aleister Crowley, a very controversial figure in his own right, and fortune tellers used them during periods a renewed occult interest. All this is to say is there are a lot of connections between tarot and the occult, but tarot itself is not innately occult, and reading tarot cards and understanding yourself through tarot is not an occult practice. There is also connections with tarot being used as a conduit to access a higher, often coded as demonic and sinister power. But if you look at the history of when, why, and how the cards were first created, you'll see that this is not the original intention, and there doesn't need to be fear about it. All that ancient and mythological histories of tarot were stories created afterwards to give it more historical precedent and weight as a quote-unquote rediscovered lost knowledge. It was also a way to demonize tarot, especially by different religious groups. So why is there all these connections to the occult? The answer lies in what tarot is about: intuition and deep understanding of the self and the world around you. Occult practices often purport to offer an answer to these things, so of course they'd be drawn to and use tarot with this in mind. Similarly, with tarot being used by fortune tellers and other mystics for money, there's a misconception that tarot is about future telling. Intuition can sometimes be seen as future predicting because it may feel as though you know something might happen or you predicted it. But often this is more about you reading the patterns in relationships and situations, finding the commonalities with previous events, and being right about history repeating itself. With a little history out of the way, let's speak more about what I mentioned. Tarot is about intuition, deep understanding of self and the world around you. Tarot's imagery speaks to universal experience and archetypes, especially the major arcana, which are the 22 cards that most people would probably associate with tarot. Tarot is all about drawing connections and using universal imagery and experiences to understand your own. So let me lay out some basic frameworks of thought that will help you when you approach tarot. I want to say first that since tarot is based on human experiences, lots of these ideas exist and are explained in different ways across history and different cultures. So I'm only talking about the ones I've encountered, and there's plenty of room for you to bring your own knowledge to this. Tarot is also centered in Western thought, ideology, and history. So again, you can bring your own experiences and your own culture to it as well. An essential thing to understand about tarot is the idea of the macro and microcosm. The microcosm is the smaller scale world that imitates the larger scale world of the macrocosm. So an example of this is the human body and all the systems in the body mirroring the idea of a city and all their systems or a civilization. And this is actually really funnily and greatly displayed in the classic kids animation Osmosis Jones or in the more recent anime Cells at Work. And this idea is expressed in many different ways, like as above, so below, the butterfly effect, I contain multitudes, all is one, one is all, shout out to Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And it's this idea that everything is connected, and we are part of a larger order in the universe. There's connections here to this idea of the circle of life and the grass and the antelope seen from The Lion King, but this understanding isn't just about accepting our tiny existence in the larger world, but also that we can affect change on the larger world, and that we have these deep layers of complexity that make us our own worlds, and also in control of our own journey. So there's kind of a lot of opposing things being said here, but that's the point, right? Is that two totally opposite things can be true at once. My therapist taught me that that's the dialectic. Anyway, so in this understanding of ourselves as individuals affected by and affecting others, we also have to just marvel at ourselves for being human and surviving the world and appreciate the others who have been on this journey of being human before us and learn from their wisdom. So speaking from learning from their wisdom, let's talk about archetypes. So archetypes were popularized by Carl Jung, and he often gets overshadowed by Freud, especially because of his weird sex stuff. But I think that he offers a lot more understanding of psychoanalysis and understanding the psyche and sociology. And basically, archetypes were different types of people, characters, and personas that were found throughout stories, myth, and history. And the major arcana and the 22 cards are clearly influenced by these and also offer a story about navigating the world, often referred to as the Fool's Journey. This also ties to Joseph Campbell's The Hero Journey, and Campbell himself was a fan of Jung's and is famous for his theory on the timeless nature of storytelling and how all stories follow a similar pattern of a call to action, conflict, and resolution. The Fool's Journey, which we will dive into next week, is the foundation of and a way to remember the major arcana, the card's meanings, and also follows the hero's journey. Lastly, I want to talk about femininity and masculinity in tarot. In our modern world, where we have an understanding of gender expression and biological sex traits as complex and potentially separate entities, the binary of masculinity and femininity can feel very limiting. And I think that's fair, and I don't think we need to approach the feminine and the masculine in tarot as literal men or women. Instead, the idea is more about energies and the way that people without our current scientific knowledge used feminine and masculine as opposing but complementary traits. The first opposites that exist in many myths and religions and ways to explain the universe are chaos and order, destruction and creation, moon and sun, male and female. Tarot uses feminine and masculine as partially shorthand for these fundamental opposites. But just because they're opposite or defined as either doesn't make one better than another. In opposition, they actually define each other. Without chaos, there is no order. Without sadness, there is no way to know joy. Also, like the yin yang symbol, these opposites don't simply exist independent of each other, but there's a little of them in each other too. Again, we're coming back to that idea of the two opposing things can be true at once. So while tarot may define certain energies as feminine and certain as masculine, it is more for a way to categorize something and not saying that energy itself is the only masculine or only feminine, and that if you aren't portraying that energy in the same way, you're incorrect. And lastly, the most important part about these different energies is that the joining of them is where there's the most balance, positivity, and harmony. So we're understanding who we are, where we come from, and our place in the world. What's next? Opening the third eye is often the term used for encountering new enlightened wisdom and intuition. That location is considered sacred due to the brow chakra, which is also known to be the spot of intuition, as well as its associations with divinity. Tarot is about strengthening your intuition and opening yourself up to listening to your inner voice. While you don't have to think about it like a superpower, it's easier to think about it like noticing your true feelings on something and paying more attention to your gut reactions. While we sometimes don't make good choices for ourselves, we always want the best for ourselves deep down. Scientists have also proven that fear is a signal your body sends as a warning, If you're interested in learning more, read The Gift of Fear. All this is to say, as cliche as it sounds, is that you hold the answers inside yourself. Now, for those who don't have a deck yet, here are some basic recommendations I have. First, look for a deck that is based on the Smith-Waite imagery. This symbolism is the most used and well-known, so it'll be easier to find resources, including this one, on it. Second, find imagery that speaks to you. There are basically decks with any theme you can think of, and you want a deck that matches your vibe. My deck that I use is the Ethereal Visions Illuminated Tarot by Matt Hughes, because I love the Art Nouveau style and the gold illumination on it. It's gorgeous. So third, you can choose whether or not to use any additional cards that may be included. So my deck has two artist-created cards that I do not use because I'm more of a traditionalist, and I just don't find the imagery on those cards to be particularly useful or speak to me. So with our discussions of the feminine and masculine, I also prefer a deck where the characters are human, and so you're able to easily distinguish male and female. That might not be important to you, but it's just something to keep in mind. In terms of shuffling and using cards in a reading, do whatever makes you comfortable. Usually I shuffle while repeating the questions I'm asking out loud. And there are many layouts that you can use for your reading, but I think a great starter is a different variation of the three card spread. Three itself as a number holds symbolic significance. You see the Trinity used throughout different religions and mythologies. And there are three basic ways to lay out cards. The first is a linear spread, with each card next to each other in line. 1, 2, 3. This spread suggests a path or journey. And some questions you can keep in mind are the past for the first card, the present for the second card, and the future for the third card. Similarly, the situation, the action, the outcome. You, your relationship, and the partner. The second is a balance spread, with a card laid out and then two cards are laid beneath it, angled to make a triangle with the negative space in the middle. This spread is about three equal contributors, where each is equally important. Some questions you can hold in mind are mind for the first card, body for the second card, and spirit for the third card. Similarly, you could think emotional state, physical state, spiritual state. What I think, what I feel, what I do. And the third spread is a foundational spread, where the first card is on the bottom, and there is one card next to it, and then one card is placed above it, kind of like a pyramid. And this spread speaks to cause and effect, where the two bottom cards are the causes, and the top card above it is kind of built on top of it. So three questions that could work would be, what worked well, what didn't work well, and lessons that I learned. Strengths, weaknesses, advice. What you want, what they want, where it's going. I hope these spreads give you an idea to start your reading. All right, so we've covered some great stuff today, and I really want to thank you for taking time to listen to me. I look forward to continuing this journey next episode as we get into the story of the Major Arcana. Keep seeking, seekers.